William Morrow and Harper Audio present The Weavers of Alamaxa, a novel by Hadir Elsbai. Performed by Priya Ayar and Nikki Masood. A note before we begin. Don't forget to download the accompanying enhancement PDF from your audiobook provider. It contains maps and dramatis personae from the book. For Shirin and everyone who loved her. 1. Georgina. Georgina had always enjoyed the anonymity of the veils the Daughters of Izdihar wore, but never more so than she did now, when she was technically a fugitive. She adjusted the black wrap to seamlessly hide her red hair, then carefully settled the thick wooden piece against her nose to ensure the veil wouldn't flutter away in a breeze. Wearing the face veil was an old-fashioned custom, but it was not exclusive to the daughters, so it would allow Georgina and Malak, who was donning her own face veil, to walk through the streets of Alamaxa unrecognized and relatively unaccosted. Georgina could hardly believe it had only been 2 days since their escape from jail. 2 days during which a sizable Zirani army had made itself comfortable at the city's western border. The army had formed a large camp just outside the Alamaxa citadel walls, with seemingly no intention of attacking. The Alamaxa daily was delivered to Zubaida's brothel, where they were hiding out, but even Alamaxa's most respectable newspaper struggled to understand what the army's intentions were, besides intimidating Parliament. Zirana had not yet made any specific demands, and Parliament seemed willing to wait for them, as though attempting to delay the inevitable for as long as possible. "Cowards as always," Atadel scoffed. Georgina had said nothing to this. Atadel had steadily grown more irritable and volatile in the past 2 days. They were all anxious, but Atadel had taken to constantly fidgeting and scoffing loudly in a way that seemed to demand an answer that no one had. Thus far, Georgina and the others had done their best to ignore this. Georgina also suspected the stagnancy of the past 2 days had given Atadel little to do but think of Labiba. With that, Georgina could easily sympathize. When she struggled to sleep at night, she alternated between luridly colorful visions of Labiba's bloodied galabeya and Naji Ouazani's crushed body. Yet Georgina did not think she agreed entirely with Atadel's assessment of Parliament's character at this moment. She had little faith in the senators generally, but at this point it seemed waiting was far more prudent than blindly reacting, since they knew nothing for certain. More frustrating for Georgina personally was not knowing precisely how intent the police were on finding her and Malak. Mention of their escape had not seeped into the Alamaxa daily as Georgina had expected it to. Whether this was because the police did not want to reveal their incompetence or because other matters had taken precedence, Georgina was not certain. Still, she doubted the police had simply forgotten. Ateya Marwan, who had gleefully arrested them himself, was sure to remember them and note their absence. More likely, their escape had been reported to Parliament, but there was nothing she could do about that now. Bahira, who had settled back into the brothel with unease and worried she might draw the police after her escape from prison, now scowled at Malak and Georgina as they adjusted their veils. "You shouldn't be going out at all," Bahira insisted. "It's too dangerous." Malak settled her veil down over her face, so that only her eyes were showing. "No one will recognize us." "But there's no point to this," Bahira argued. "You just want to see her." Malak raised a single eyebrow, and Bahira looked away, a slight blush on her cheeks. "Nahel and Nico have resources."
Sample complete. Ready to continue?